Welcome to the Shadow Point Podcast, where we talk about building brands, creating dynamic digital content, and solving the world's problems with coffee and storytelling. We're your hosts, Sean and Logan, and we can't wait to make your day a little more interesting.
So 1 o'clock that morning. Fast forward to 1 o'clock, right, right. I still hadn't gone to bed yet.
When I finished my kickboxing workout, then I could mellow out a little.
And you start stressing because you're like, man, I got to get up in 4 hours. Man, I got to get up in 3 hours.
I know.
Man, I got to get up in 2 hours.
Now I need more coffee. That's what they do. Okay. That's how they reel you in.
Man. Well, it sounds like we're all coffee lovers here.
Yes.
Indeed.
Welcome to the Shadow Point Podcast.
It's a cold open.
We're at Tucson Coffee Roasters again, and I am drinking their monsoon blend. It's actually seasonal, notes of dark chocolate and cedar, and it's delicious. Highly recommend it if you guys can come to Tucson Coffee.
And you have two bags of
I do. I do. I actually bought a bag of espresso for my sister. And
Your sister, sure.
Yep. I bought another bag of monsoon for my mom. And I bought a bag of Mexican a couple days ago and another bag of espresso for me. So we're doing another episode where we're bringing another local business in. First is Tucson Coffee Roasters. Thanks for letting us record in your space again. it's been a great relationship here. And then we're bringing in Richard Harris. Let's hear about your business. Let's get some of your background first. I mean, I'm still learning about your background, so.
Sure. It's not super exciting. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I transplanted out here.
That right there is exciting. Yeah, I was in college. I spent a summer in Nashville.
Oh, isn't it a great place?
Best summer of my life.
Yeah, I mean,
it was incredible.
I have to be careful not to go on about
it. Please, it's okay here.
Hey, while I'm at it, the coffee here, it is. It's excellent. It's so good.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. So I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I came out here in 2005 to run a job for a company that I had been working for since May of 2000. Came out here in May of 2005, met my wife. That's kind of, says enough. So I stayed out here. I worked for that company for about 18 years till 2018.
What was that company? What did you do?
It's furniture installation.
Okay.
And you kind of go, furniture, couches and stuff like that, right? Well, yeah, sure, we'll do a couch. We're happy to do a couch. We'll place a trash can. but what we do is we work with companies that sell like commercial end furniture. So this might be cubicles, right? Maybe these large private offices that people are sitting in, these types of things. So if you ever seen a commercial where like a Capital One commercial where there's some dude kicked back and he's got his headset and he's on the phone and he's sitting in that cubicle, that's what I built.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't even know it was an industry until I got into it. But the guy that asked me, he's like, Richard, we worked at another place together. And this was, like I said, May of 2000. He says, hey, Richard, I'm at this company now. He's like, why don't you come over here and check it out? And I was just kind of a wanderer at that point, so why not? I did. I go over because I thought, I just bought one of these little entertainment stands, and it comes in this box, and I'd put it together. I'm like, it'd be perfect for this. I just built my entertainment stand at home. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But it draws you in, and I've been doing it for, my goodness, 22 years now.
Wow.
22 years, yeah. So I started out just a hand in the warehouse back in Nashville, Tennessee. A year or two into it, I got the opportunity to go to operations training in Detroit with our company, spent a year up there, came back to Nashville. We decided to close that branch. I relocated to Atlanta for a couple years. I guess I did DC for a year, and then I floated. Literally, was just kind of part of our rapid deployment team is what we call it. Anywhere in the country in 24 hours. We can take, we can get on there. So I got around a lot, just put everything in storage and just traveled for a couple years and decided it was enough. Came to Tucson, opened up the division for that company, Synergy Installations, great company, great people, and worked for them till 2018. 2018, I decided to hang my own shingle. life was going to be super easy and you know, and carefree at that point. So why wouldn't I want to do that? And so that's what I did. And I've been doing that for 4 years. I just, July 1st, we just celebrated our 4-year anniversary.
Hey, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Congrats, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. It's been fun.
I'm curious real quick. I'm doing an Instagram story. Do you have a Instagram?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
Does the business have an Instagram?
I don't feel like we do.
Sad, dude. Okay, continue.
Isn't that terrible? you know, so here's an interesting thing. I don't have a lot of clients. Here in town, I've probably got 6 to 8 clients locally.
Oh, really?
Do a lot of work from, you know, out of... The cool thing about Tucson is, well, it's sort of a catch-22. 6 one way, half a dozen the other. So in my world, I really needed to be in a bigger city to be able to support the kind of business that I kind of wanted. The kind of business that I knew how to run. Right? Because that's what I was doing. I was running a division.
Right?
Over our Southwest division. That was me. Well, so now I know how to do this, but I typically do it in cities that are much larger, right? Okay. So the cities I rattled off, Detroit, Atlanta, Charlotte, D.C.,
right.
You know, yeah. I've been to all these great big cities and worked in those towns many, many times and traveled to all of them. Well, if I was going to open a branch, it wouldn't be in a town as small as Tucson, right? The reason that Synergy did was because they had a Raytheon account, right? They were here to do all the installation.
Yeah.
Out there. So I ran that for many, many years, which, by the way, was all performance-based, and held that account for 13 years before I finally pulled out. I'm just side note. Well, so I ended up pulling out, you know, well, so all I know how to do is this, right? I didn't want to do it for somebody else anymore, but I'm in this town. It's really just too small, guys. It's just too small, right? So I said, okay, I can eat beans and weenies, right? That's what I'll do.
You are from Nashville.
Yeah, I really am. Since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. So me and my business partner, we decide, okay, I mean, we're going to have to work 75 hours a week, which seems like hasn't really stopped.
Yep.
And we figured we're going to make very, very little money. But you know what? We were going to be making our own way, right? Because see, I go in, so guys, you've heard it. Hey, you're starting a new business, right? You're not going to make money. Don't expect to make any money for 2 to 3 years, right? I couldn't. I had to make money.
Yeah.
I was going in and going, I can't, you know, I can't go down that path. I have to go into business and start making money very quickly. So I scrounged everything that I could. My business partner, he took out a loan on his house, right? His mortgage, a HELOC, whatever. And we took this little ball of money and we threw it out there. We got us a little warehouse. We bought us a little bit of equipment. Man, we started knocking on doors, shoe leather, right? We knew some people.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, it slowly began to trickle in. We lost a lot of people because we couldn't keep people busy. Mm. You know, we lost a lot of people and that's tough. And we thought, you know, there was one time, there's really only one time I ever thought that I made a mistake that I didn't want to do it. It was probably 11 o'clock at night. I'm on the back of a truck unloading garbage out of the back of this truck so I can just reload, you know, the product that's got to go out the next morning, right? There's no one to do it. If I don't do it, it's not going to happen. My business partner, he's at a job site doing the same thing, trying to get trash out of a job site, and it's midnight, 11 o'clock. Wow. That was the only time I ever stopped and said, I'm not so sure this is what I want to do. And so I continued. I went home. I went to bed that night, woke up next day. I was good to go. Hmm. Never thought it again.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I guess maybe everybody has that experience. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody probably feels it at some point, you know.
Yeah.
So that's my business, man.
I love it.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
I love it. You have a long history in what you're doing, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cool thing in the industry is just knowing so many people around the country. If I'm going to talk about the good stuff, this is all just icing. This is all just salad in front of the steak, right?
Yeah,
that's what
this
is right now. The best part, really, about the business, if I could just go on about anything, it'd probably be the people.
Yeah.
You know, it's the people.
Yeah.
I underestimated how much I would just be crazy about the people that work with me.
Hmm.
I just did not realize I would be so crazy about those people, but I am. you know, I am. I want to see them do good. You know, I want to see them learn. I want to see, you know, there's times I've got guys, you know, these kids walk in the door. We're very dress for our dress. So my company, we're very blue collar, but make no doubt about it. We're wearing khaki pants. We're wearing leather boots, a leather belt. We're wearing polo shirts that are buttoned up, right? This is how we present ourselves. We don't want to be the guys in the t-shirts and the tennis shoes, right, and the cut-off shorts.
Careful, careful. That's how I show up.
Yeah, you don't want to be like us. No, that's a fair point. I think that's fair to say.
I go change real quick.
Glad it's a podcast.
Too late. Give it away. I wasn't going to say anything, Logan. I'm here in my tuxedo, so.
but we do. We want to look the part. And you know, we have clients that we will wear their shirts. Hey, we approach them. Listen, we'll go out and represent you. So in my world, in the car world, you got Ford, Chevrolet, Toyota, right? But you don't have to go to have them. You don't have to go to them to have your car worked on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of competent companies out there, yeah, right, that can work on your car and do just as good as a dealership, in my opinion.
Right.
Now, they're the very high-end ones, but certainly, they can do a lot. In my world, you've got all these different dealerships that sell furniture, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Miller, Hayworth, no, you got countless, lines of furniture. Literally, there's got to be 100 of them out there, right? Well, when you have all these, the dealers that sell that stuff, they're not really the major leagues of installation at times, right?
Yeah.
So it might be that their skill level is so much because maybe they don't want to be into it, right? Maybe that's not their, they'd rather sell furniture and leave the installation up to somebody else.
Sure.
And then you've got some other dealerships that are, they're excellent at it, but their workload is too much, right? If they could keep all of it, they would,
yeah,
you know, but there's ebbs and flows in business, right? So that's how we come in. We can come in and support the dealership. So many times if you happen to be driving down the road, and I'm not going to say my client's name, but if you saw my client's truck out there and you saw all the people around it that are working, unloading, maybe building inside, if you saw those guys, it's a good possibility it's my guys wearing their uniforms. Mm, and we sell that, right? That's part of
that's
it.
Genius.
We want to represent, isn't it?
And
it's so simple.
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious, when you started your business, did you come up with that, or did you pick that up from previous industries?
I got to tell you, the people that I was surrounded with, I was very, very fortunate. I got to tell you guys, so the people that I was surrounded with at Synergy, they were excellent. The owners have now, they've split, and they've gone their separate ways. And so I still maintain a relationship with both of them because they're amazing. They're amazing. When I was coming up, so for me to really get passionate about furniture, right? I mean, it's the silliest thing, right? It never happened until they showed me where I fit in the whole big scheme of things. Right? When I saw which little gear I was, I'm that gear right there. When I stopped turning, this is what happens. And so things started making sense to me.
Gotcha.
And I began to really like to see the gears turn as they should, right? And so I became very hungry. I want to know more. I want to know more. And that's why I went on the road. I ran operations in Atlanta, in D.C., in Detroit, right? And you know, certainly helped in Charlotte a lot and was very close with the owners. And they were very willing to mentor me in business, right? They're very forward thinking, and there's a lot of things that we've come on online, right? So you've probably heard it. You're 80% yourself and 20% what everybody else influences you in your life, something like this, right? Well, one thing that they influenced us is to be forward thinking, so that when my relationship with them, as far as an employee, owner relationship ended, they had still trained me to think forward thinking. You know, so at this point, now I've got all this knowledge, and now from there, I get to take the next step. But I didn't start at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
So it all kind of built, and they were, well, I'll tell you, Dan Tarr, Bill Dillon, Josh Rollins, I don't know that they would have, Todd, George Wilson, there's countless people. I don't know that they would ever hear the podcast. I'll send the link to them now. But these people were amazing, and I was just so fortunate. And, you know, I always liked the free enterprise system. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was so cool that I could go do something, and somebody would pay me to do something.
Now,
I never thought that I would go into to do my own thing in furniture. Always wanted to do my thing. Never. I'm in Tucson. I could never do it, right? It just wasn't ever going to happen for me here. And, I mean, you know, one day I just decided to go for it.
So, now that you've been in Tucson and you started thinking it's not going to work in Tucson, are you still 100% based here, or are you outsourcing to other cities? How's that working for you?
So, you know, so I've got a book of business that I could go do in Phoenix. And can you believe it? I've decided that my quality of life is more important. You know, I didn't always think that. You know, it's like, as soon as we can, we're expanding. We're going to Albuquerque, El Paso, and Phoenix, right. And we're going to grow this thing like no one's ever done it before. And, you know, I am very happy. I like being a big fish in a small pond, right? For you to come in here into my town, because I've been here since 2005, right? I'm in Arizona, right? I'm from Nashville. It's where my heart will always be. Right. My home will always be. I'm an Arizonan, right? Yeah. I don't know what I would do to go back, right? For somebody to come in and really, I mean, it would be tough to pry us out of our position, right? We're just pretty well established here,
right?
And we've got excellent relationships with our clients. Clients get the owners on their job sites. So, long way of saying, I don't. As far as expanding or anything like that, I've partnered with a couple of installation teams in Phoenix. And so we trade work back and forth.
Nice.
Right? So if they've got something here and they can, they'll pass it along to me. If I've got something up there, I'll just pass it along to them. And we've traded not only jobs, but we've traded clients like that too.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty good thing.
We've done the same with our business as photographers here in Tucson. There's several other real estate photographers and video people, and the community here, it's just, I've never run into a community like Tucson where you can do that. You can swap work back and forth, and you can trade clients back and forth, and it's not about who does the most business or who makes the most money. It's about how can we best serve the community.
Agreed.
And that's something I hear very clearly through your business.
Well, you know, interesting enough, when I was with Synergy, we would never partner with other installation companies. Mm. We wouldn't talk to them. Mm. No, we'd rather compete against them. And I think that was one of the things that, you know, that was something. In fact, when I started my business, the largest installation company in Phoenix is a company called Manning Group. And I mean, what can I say? I jumped on the phone, started shooting emails, and the guy that owns that, I found him online, his name's Jared Manning. The guy's brilliant. Can I come up there and talk to you? Can I come up there and talk to you? Finally, he emails me back, says, come on up here and talk to me. This is at the very beginning. And this guy has got a 100,000 square foot warehouse. This guy is getting business from all over the country. It's an amazing operation that they got. And he let me come in and sit in front of him and pick his brain for half an hour before he toured me through his enormous space. And it was just so striking to me. It was just so striking to me that somebody would be that thoughtful, right? Right, yeah. To really be thinking of somebody else and to really give him a shot. And he began to give us work immediately. We had companies coming up afterwards going, hey, how did you get in with Jared Manning? I went up there and met with him.
Yeah,
you know, maybe you guys should try that. Yeah. Guys. You know, the guy's really, you know, he's
that's
really
super radical, Richard. Yeah, that you'd actually just introduce yourself and say hello.
Exactly. You know, and for that matter, guys, the Business Association of Tucson. I joined the Business Association of Tucson not to give leads or to get leads. I wanted to be in there with business owners. I wanted to find out what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, how am I going to do this, guys? Hey, y'all, here's what I'm thinking. I want to throw it up on the board and says, what do y'all think about that? You know? And that's why I went into the business group. I never really went in there to grow a company. I might have sold it to the owners of my company that, hey, this could be really good for business in here, right? But I was really there. I wanted to learn. And if somebody would teach me something, if somebody would have lunch with me, I wanted to talk to them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So cool.
So that's how we got through that's really how, you know, we got started. But again, just to circle back and to finish my point earlier that I got off track from was just the people, just the people, both clients and the ones that work for you and the people that you meet in the field and the other contractors. I just love them. I just had no idea that this love would be birthed along with this company for anybody that I do business with. I'm a sucker. I'm so sentimental for anybody that all the clients of mine that I've never met, right, only through emails, I've got clients that I've never spoken to on the phone.
Right.
And I'm just so attached to them. I'm just so profoundly fond of all of them. I just can't help myself. Because, you know, this is my realm of influence.
Yeah.
This is how I strengthen my community.
Yep.
Right?
It's all about relationship.
It is, and it truly is relationship. It truly is what we're saying, encounter, engagement,
right.
Meeting,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I know you can't see it on the podcast, but one thing that I learned from my daughter watching her as she was growing up was she would do this to people. She would wave to people. And even as she's grown all the way up, she would just put her hand up and wave. Well, I took that and I ran with it, and I realized, listen, I don't engage people, just go, how you doing? I say, hi, how you doing? Engagement, right? Raise your hand and wave to them, right? Right? Snap that typical, you know, just moseying yep. through life. You know, yep. we've got a great opportunity. I'm 47 years old, right? I'm not going to do this forever. I can't. I don't want to do it. I'm having a good time right now.
Right.
But I want to influence as many people as I can while I'm here. I want to help as many of them as I can. I want to give. I want to show them how to give. I want to teach them. Look, here's my story. I'm not an educated person, right? I made it through high school. I graduated 13th in my high school class out of 13 people. I went to a very small school.
But you graduated, right?
I did graduate, awesome. Right? You know, I think actually my dad was the only other person. Well, he got his college degree, but my family is not typically, you know, the college type.
Yeah.
Do I feel smart enough? Sure, I guess. But I'm bouncing off the walls, fellas. You know what I mean? This school just never was me. It never was me. But I was with a small business with several divisions, right? Synergy. And the benefit of being with a small business is you got somebody that can go, here, check this out. You know, there's no corporate structure that means, oh, you got to have this degree. You have to have this many years of experience. You have to get through this many different courses at our company.
Yeah,
no, they just grab me and say, here, let's go do this. Right?
I love that.
And man, I screwed some stuff up. Oh, guys, I screwed some stuff up. And they stuck with me. I mean, they stuck with me. I'm a little bit hard-headed. I don't always learn. And, you know, I'm, you know, younger, you know.
Yeah.
I would've running like crazy and fighting and staying out and just being silly. And so, you know, they had to put up with that through my 20s. You know, and they did. They stuck with me and they gave me opportunity. And they, you know, and I wanted to honor them.
Right.
And began to just travel the country and just every city I was in a different week doing a different job for many years. And now here I am.
Me.
Listening to your story, Richard, I'm hearing something sparked a long time ago that set you on a journey, but a major catalyst was being able to recognize your place in that journey. You taught the cog that turns, and when I turn, this happens, and I know my place, and I know my influence. But an essential part of that was once you pursued something that you were interested in and pressed into it, you met and are still meeting a lot of really interesting characters,
right,
who are investing in you. You know what I mean? You're learning from them and you're still learning as you go, right?
Yeah.
How does that affect your business as you're picking up different bits of knowledge and wisdom from people that you never know who you're going to meet?
You're right.
You know, or even your leadership, if not your business directly.
Well, you know, I might have to have you pose that question to me again. Because I want to make sure I'm nailing it. So how is it that, how do I relate all my experiences with all my mentors and the people that I've crossed paths with, how do I relate that to my team, my clients? Right?
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. You know what really it is? Rule number one, one of the rules in business, don't talk about yourself. I couldn't disagree with that rule more. So in my world, a rule is you got to talk about yourself. Listen, sometimes you got to tell people what you're doing. You've got to share things with people. And so my dad gave me this. My dad gave me this saying one time. He said, "You know, son," he said, "a guru is just somebody that just knows a tad bit more than you do, right? He's know-it-all. He knows everything about this. Well, he just knows a little bit more than you." And I think it's interesting because, you know, I've got some folks that work with me, and I've got an opportunity to mentor people. And you know, sometimes they, you know, sometimes they'll shake their head, and you know, they'll put that, and they're just thinking, and they look at me like, "How in the world did you know? Did you know that, Richard? You're brilliant." "I'm brilliant."
That's how we know.
Well, I'm not brilliant. But I've been in the industry for 23 years, and I've had the influence of a lot of great people, and so a lot of the problems that I see on a daily basis, I've seen them many times before, right? And so now I know that we're going to be okay through it, right? And so now it's a great time to mentor and perhaps let many of those things that I've learned all those years ago, you know, open up and be an open book to these people. And I do find that you do make yourself vulnerable. You do make yourself vulnerable at times, and that's part of it. If we're really interested in affecting people and their lives for the better, right, in our community, right?
Yeah.
Then there's no way around it. You have to make yourself vulnerable, and that's difficult because we have a business to run, right? I'm vulnerable. Well, I'm vulnerable to a sad story, guys. You know, I mean, you know. I pull people in, and because I'm a small business, I'm not this corporate thing. I can pull somebody in and say, "Hey, you knucklehead, man, you got a family at the house, right? You got a kid on the way. You need to get your ass to work." I don't know if I can say that. You need to get.
I'm good with it.
You need to get to work. You know, yeah, you need to be in here on time. Your family is relying on you. Yeah. You know, I get to do that stuff. Hey, if you don't like it, you don't have to work here, right?
Right, right.
You're on the verge of losing your job anyway. Well. What I've learned is one of the great things that I've been able to begin to do with folks, soft landings. Oh my gosh, soft landings. I've always known of soft landings. Never really did it very much, right? Soft landings. So if you're in a job and you're not succeeding at it, you know, I have to identify why aren't you succeeding. It may be that I'm not working you to your strength. Well, because you fail in that position, I don't want to fire you. What I want to do is I want to investigate. I want to find out what your gift is, right? I want to find out what your attitude is. And I don't just mean emotionally, but I mean, how are you coming at things, right? Because I recently had a guy, one of the hardest workers I've ever known, consistently. I've known him for probably 8 years. He works with me now. We worked together over the last company. The guy amazes me. He wasn't thriving in a leadership role, right? And it was causing a lot of tension between us and him. His house burns down. Some other, you know, personal stuff, you know, really hit him all at once. And I fired him. I can't. I've got a business run. I have so, you know, when I look at these people, I see families, guys. Right? I see families that work with us, right? I am responsible to those families. And so if somebody is making it difficult for me to do business, I have to remove that threat for the better of everybody else. Now, I will still love this person. I'll still love them. If they'll let me, I'll still help them. Well, it just wasn't sitting good with me. And many times if I can't sleep at night over something in particular that I wake up thinking about, then I usually feel like there's a good chance that I've done something wrong. So I decided to give this guy a soft landing. I pulled him out of a leadership role. I made him a lead, right? Not a supervisor, a lead. It's your top guy below a supervisor, right? But a fraction of the responsibility, he's thriving. He's thriving. So if, you know, as business owners, I just think we have to be careful who we throw away. Right? Go away. What else can we do? See, I'm a sucker for them. I want to know what makes them tick. I want it to work. I want it to work for you, you know?
Yeah.
So, as far as that goes, that's a long way of saying it's been good to have worked with so many good people and so many good influences in my life and be able to share many of those things. I mean, guys, I was broke. I was broke and the owner knew it. The owner knew it. I remember he took me grocery shopping. And, yeah, I mean, really, I mean, and the owner of Synergy at one time was sleeping in his car.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these are amazing stories to me. And yeah, they're just so influential. And
That's so cool that you share that. That was one of my experiences back when I was first married, just out of college. We were broke as well, and I was working in a coffee shop. I was a barista for about a year, and the owner would buy us groceries. Mm. And just that little act of kindness just means so much, you know? And like, you're never gonna forget that.
That's right.
And it carries over in how you treat people and how you run your business. That's cool.
I mean, and when you do it for other people, which I am addicted to, when you do it for...
Because you know what a difference it
that's
makes.
That's the thing. You yes. know it. You yes. know it. You know it. I mean, oh my gosh, there's just countless stories of,
yeah.
you know, the looks on the people's faces because, I mean, you get it. You get it going. You know what that feels like. You know, yeah. not only are you sympathetic to them, but you're empathetic.
Yeah.
Right? You've been there.
Yeah.
Right? You've been in those shoes. Yep. So, yeah, great experience.
So we've got to wrap this up pretty soon.
Of course.
One last thing from me. I'm curious, what would you... Do you have any words of wisdom for either a new business starting out or somebody thinking about starting a new business?
Yeah, for sure. I think entrepreneurism, if I'm saying that right, is part of our DNA, okay? Yeah. Whether you're working for somebody else or you have the passion to go do it yourself, I think it's if you're thinking about it and it's something that you're really feeling, follow your heart. Go. Go do it. Don't do what I do and wait so long, right? Go. Hit the gas.
Yes.
But quite honestly, it's if I could say something to everybody, it's don't be typical. You don't have to wait 2 to 3 years to make money. You don't have to do it. Don't buy into it, right? Go be different than everybody else. Go do something that's different. That's
yes.
what I would say.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Man, so many things you said resonates with our story.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I was going to say, one of the things that I mean, there's a lot about this that I'm learning as you share your story, and I appreciate everything you have to share. But the thing that's resonating with me most right now is the fact that you're openly admitting I'm not this genius guy, you know.
No, I
learned because I cared about something and the life experience made me genius, and now I can share that. But that takes down that fear barrier for others who are thinking, wow, I look at Richard and he's thriving, he's doing all these things, he must have just set up and started succeeding from the word go. Well, there's a lot of success to be sure, but you learn from life
right.
experience, and you
Absolutely.
Met people who invested in you, and that's how you got here, because you went after it.
Yeah.
You just cared about it. You cared about the people, which is something exactly what Ron was saying in our last podcast.
Mm.
He loves what he does with his hands, but what he cares most about is using that to help people.
Yeah.
And that passion is what fueled him to learn and grow, just a lot of what you're saying.
The passion, I would release... You know, certainly everybody's going to want to participate in entrepreneurism at their own level, at their whatever level that might be.
Right.
But the other thing that I would want to advise people on that are going into business, for one, absolutely do it. I mean, do it now. You know, we all think we're the best at everything. If you really think you're the best or you think you're good enough to make it, then go. Don't daydream. Hey, and the other thing that I wanted to say is, one thing I wish somebody would have told me was, not only do you not have to wait 2 or 3 years to turn a nickel, right? You don't have to wait. You know, am I getting rich? No. I'm very comfortable, right?
Right.
I'm not getting rich here.
Right.
But the other thing that I would just want to stress is that nobody told me that when you go into business for yourself, you begin to learn and recognize ways to make money.
Hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So it's not all furniture installation for me anymore.
Yep.
Right? I'm making money because now my mind is in that mindset, right? So, you know, when we first took off and started swimming, you know, and trying to get this business going, hey, anything we can do to make a buck, oh my gosh, short of selling ourselves on the corner, we were willing to work and do anything, right?
Yeah.
Well, with that mindset, you begin to go, wait a minute, that sucks. I don't want to make money doing that unless I absolutely have to. But look here.
Yep.
Look at these different opportunities. And so you see more opportunities. You learn more opportunities. You know, you learn to identify those opportunities.
Yep.
And I wish somebody would have told me that. You're going to be okay. you know, you're going to be okay. You know, Rob Martin used to say to me, he used to say from the business group, he'd say, what can they do to you? So if it fails, what are you going to go get a job and get yourself, figure something else out and start over, right? That's what entrepreneurs do.
Yep.
You know?
And I don't think entrepreneurs can help but do that.
Right.
Like you said, it's in the DNA.
Yeah, it really is. It is.
Sean and I both waited so long that we ended up getting fired from the jobs we were at before we jumped in this business.
Well, there's that.
So, either way, it's going to happen. So
right.
Jump out and make it happen.
Yeah.
Follow your heart.
And yeah. I think just one other thing that I, as you were just kind of wrapping up what you're sharing, you discovered your genius because of the circumstance. You said, all right, I'm not going to wait anymore. I'm going to go for it. And then out of necessity, it's, oh my goodness, I need to find other avenues, other venues. Hmm. And I believe everybody has their own genius, you know,
absolutely.
But how are you going to really, truly tap into that until you've placed yourself in the situation of sink or swim?
Yep.
Like I hear what you're saying, you know, you're going to be okay. But at the same time, this is it. I'm all in now. Now you're going to be forced, if you will, to dig deep and find what is that uniqueness that's already innately God created in me.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And that's when it's going to come out and shine, finally.
You know, Mike Monroe, a guy, I'm trying to turn into business group, right? He told me one time, he's like, listen, look, you're walking the tightrope right now. You know, you're just taking off. In fact, I remember sitting on the bench going, Mike, I don't know if I should be doing this. He goes, well, Richard, you've already rented at least a warehouse. I'm pretty sure you're doing this. But he told me, he's like, look, he's like, and he's like, the bigger you go, you know, the further you go along, the smaller the safety net gets. And the further down it gets, he's like, but your balance is better.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, wow. See, now you've learned to balance. Right? So although that net's further and farther away, you have better balance.
You're not so worried about the net.
That's right. That's right. I mean, listen, we're entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
This is what we do. We're the ones that make our economy, guys, right? We're the ones that, in the small business, God bless them. I tell you what, they get to influence people.
Yep.
They get to influence people. How lucky are we?
Yeah.
How lucky are we?
That's
right?
Amazing.
Oh, I love it. I'm sorry. I don't need to go on. I just love this stuff.
I feel like you can start your own podcast. And that's so refreshing. Man. Thank you for taking us on a journey, Richard. I'm learning a lot from your story.
Thanks so much, guys. This is the coolest thing. I think what you guys are doing is just amazing.
Thank you.
I really do. I'm glad you're part of it. Me too.
I have a feeling you'll be back. We'll come back and have you again.
Fun. All right.
Closing out, how can people get a hold of you? What's your call to action?
Sure. Our website, thefacilitiescompany.com. You can get us through that website. Our number is on there and everything. If you care to reach me, 520-405-7405, Richard Harris with The Facilities Company.
Awesome. Right. Thank
you
so much,
Richard.
We have
a million listeners, so brace yourself.
Excellent.
We will. Thank you so much. And
thanks again,
we'll
guys.
Be on next time.
Appreciate it.
Yep.